Why do you not, what changes you? Why do you not continue in sin? Because you're dead to it. Dead and buried. That's very important. Want to hear some better news? You're alive. Isn't that, that's also right here in the text, aren't you glad? You have been raised, you were dead. Dead. You died in Christ, and then you were raised, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm just talking to the Christians here. You died in Christ, and you were raised in Christ to newness of life. A new kind of life, listen to this, a new identity. You are not what you were, you are now something different. You are not primarily male or female, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, Paul says. You are not primarily that anymore. You are not, this really works with us, by the way, overseas. You are not, I said this a few weeks ago, you are not first Nigerians. I'm talking to more than 200 Nigerian pastors and people. You're not Nigerians. First, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. This is your identity. I carry an American passport. I'm not first in America. First, a believer in Jesus Christ. I was raised to newness of life in Christ. That's number one. Here's number two. How does the resurrection impact your life today? Number two, because it means that you've been set free from the power of sin. That's exactly what the text tells us in these verses. It's just remarkable. Look at chapter 6 and verse 6 where we were. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that, here it comes, the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, I don't want to steal Larry's thunder from next Sunday. I guess maybe I do a little bit, but just kidding. You know what you're going to hear next Sunday? Which you still have to come, by the way. You know what you're going to hear next Sunday? You're going to be a slave. You are a slave. Choose. You can be a slave to sin. That leads to death. Or you can be a slave to righteousness. That leads to obedience. You're a slave. You're not only dead, boy, this church is full of good news, isn't it? These days, you're not only dead, but you're also a slave. But here's the good news here. At the end of verse 6, you are no longer to be enslaved to sin. So I had my little quiz question here. Probably asked you this before, but I'll ask it again just for fun. You can answer out loud or not. It depends again. Do you have to sin? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm always talking to the Christians here. Do you have to sin? No. Say yes or no.
Yes or no.
You do not. I didn't ask, do you sin? Because I know the answer to that one for me and for you. The reality of our existence in a broken world surrounded by fallen people is we sin. I have the wrong perspective. I say the wrong things. I do the wrong things. That happens. I sin. So do you. That's not the question. The question is, do you have to? No. Has God given to you in Jesus Christ, fellow believers, everything necessary for you to live a sinlessly perfect life from this moment onward? Answer, yes. That's good news, because it means this. That means when you sin, and you do, God's not to blame. You can't look at God and wonder what happened. It's you. It's your heart. It's your desires. It's what you want. God has already, you died. All of the sin has been paid. You can do everything you have to. So here's what it says. Verse 6, you're no longer a slave to sin. Right. Verse 7, same thing. You are set free from sin. Verse 8, you are now living with Jesus. Verse 9, he died once, I died in him. He died once, I died once. Do you know what that means? That means there is no perpetual sacrifice of Jesus. That means when you walk into this room and we've taken the cross off of that wall and put it on this wall, and eventually there's going to be beautiful stone, the same kind that's out on the east side of the building. There's going to be rock here behind the cross. Won't that look nice? I mean, there's 100 things to do yet. That cross is empty. No Jesus hanging on that cross. No continual and perpetual sacrifice. We don't have a crucifix. We have an empty cross. Aren't you glad? Mm-hmm. Why? Because it says in Hebrews, but it also says here, he died once. Just one time. Not every time the Roman Catholics celebrate the Mass. No, not a re-crucifixion. Not another sacrifice. Not necessary. He died once. You know who died once with him? Me. I died once. Death no longer has dominion over him. Death, that spiritual death no longer has dominion over me. Now, we're talking about spiritually here. Physically, I'm getting old, and sure enough, death is going to grab me one of these days. But spiritually speaking, death has no more dominion. In verse 10, he says, he died for sin once for all. Me too. That's good news, isn't it? And so what's the conclusion? Verse 11, look what he says. Consider yourselves, therefore, do you have it? So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So I just did a little work on that as well, and I thought, I'm not here to teach you Greek, but look, logizomai. What does that look like to you? What word do you think comes from that? Logic? That's exactly what did you say, Becky? You can tell me later. Logic? Yep, that's exactly right. Look, it means to consider yourself dead to sin. Consider yourself means to reckon, to compute. Do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? It means that you're going to think about, calculate, take into account, deliberate. You're going to actually reckon yourself. You're going to consider yourself dead to sin. Do you know what that means? Hear me on this. It doesn't really make any difference how you feel. You consider yourself dead to sin. Well, I just don't feel like I should. I don't care. Make a decision to reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. It's a decision you make, and it's not a decision you make once. The verb is present imperative, which means you must habitually consider yourself dead to sin. You continually make every moment of your day. Are you challenged every moment of every day to live for Christ? Say yes or no. Are you challenged every moment of every day to have the right perspective, to think about bringing glory to God, of speaking right, thinking right? Is that true for you also? Certainly true for me. So perpetually, always, continuously, this becomes a habit, it becomes a lifestyle of reckoning, considering yourself dead to sin over and over and over again, every day, multiple times, every day, all the time. So, number three, the resurrection of Jesus Christ impacts your life because you can now present yourself, including your body parts, to God as instruments of righteousness. As I got toward the end of the passage there, he started talking about your mortal body, to make it obey. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of. What does that mean? What that means is you've got members of your body, right? What members you got? Well, let's just think for a moment. Start at the top. I got eyes. Do you got eyes? Say yes or no. Everybody in the room's got eyes? It's unanimous. Yield your eyes as instruments of righteousness. You know what that means? Don't look at the wrong things. Now, sometimes you can't help it for a fleeting instant. Commercials that come on TV, billboards as you go down the road. But what you can do is you can dedicate your eyes as instruments of righteousness to not dwell on, not look at the wrong things. You got ears? Say yes or no. No, you don't have ears? Would you talk to your parents, please? But just kidding. So, you dedicate your ears as instruments of righteousness so that you purpose to listen to right thing, truth coming in. You expose yourself to the kinds of teaching, the kinds of words, the kinds of music, wherever you are, whenever you are, at work, in the car. You have your ears as instruments of righteousness. You got a mouth?
Yes.
Do you speak sometimes? Not during the sermon usually, but yes. What are you going to say? In your mouth, you make an instrument of righteousness. You dedicate your mouth as an instrument of righteousness. I want to say only what God wants me to say, only the things that reflect His character, only the things that bring Him glory and others help and good, right? You know the prayer of the preacher? The prayer of the preacher is, Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and shut it when I've said enough. The mouth is an instrument. Can be, shall I keep going? You got hands?
Yeah.
You got a stomach? You have other organs?
Yes.
You got legs? You got feet?
Yeah.
He says, present your members, all the members of your corporal, present those as instruments of righteousness. We dedicate those to God. Those are going to be instruments of righteousness. So, good news, you're dead. Here's the conclusion, though, to your notes. There's better news. The better news is, you're more alive now than ever before, and you will be forever. Would you bow with me for prayer for a moment? We're going to be in an attitude of prayer here just for a moment, and I'm going to ask you about yourself. When the scripture says you're dead and you've been resurrected, when the scripture says you're free from sin, when the scripture says dedicate your members as instruments of righteousness, what is God by the ministry of the Holy Spirit doing in your heart during those moments? And is this a time? This is certainly the place. Is this a time when you should be making decisions of faith, crying out to the Lord from your heart, asking Him to change you, to live a life free from sin? And dear Father, that's my prayer. And that will be our dedication as we sing in a moment, that you would do in our hearts through the agency of your word and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, whatever only you can do, that you would take our lives and let them be consecrated fully to you. This I ask in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and for the sake of His glory.